So welcome to our new series. And the new series will be the following, right? We are going to go and try to develop within Chazal, meaning how Chazal portrayed, at least in my view, the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Meaning how our Mesorah, we have a tradition. And there is such a thing that the Torah was given in a two-part gift to us. Part of it was the written Torah given by Moshe, and there is the oral Torah. And there's so many, I think, misunderstandings, because we see a rabbinical Judaism is something that we know that we'll see that was came about to be at the end of the Second Temple. The question is, and people think that this is how it was always. Let's see, and we understand from Chazal how the idea of Torah Sheba'al Peh is a process of development. We're going to see how it developed. We're going to see when it developed. And why did it have to go through this process of development? For us to understand our belief and our tradition of what the Mesorah is all about. And I think that gives us an understanding also of what our role is in that chain of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And hopefully it allows us to understand rabbinic works. And what we'll do is basically something that, in my belief, is consistent with what Chazal portray in what's called rabbinical literature, what is also consistent with historical understanding of scholars, how scholars historically understand. Many times I will address the issues. Many times people who know the issues, realize that the way this approach will answer, make it consistent with how scholars outside understand our Mesorah. And also, we're going to develop in the Machshava, in Jewish thought, in mystical thought, the explanations of why did it have to be developed in such a way? Why did it come out to be? And what does it mean? So that's the goal of the series. We are going to go from the beginning, from the Genesis, also looking at sources, and we're going to connect to the development of the Gemara that we went through the last, during the summer, we spoke about the Gemara, how the Gemara developed, and then we'll connect to post-Gemara to our day and age, okay? Now, what are we going to use as the first source? Where is the source in Chazal that you have a consistent exposition, a consistent development of how Torah Sheba'al Peh came to be? And we're going to use an approach, which I think is an amazing approach, by Rav David Zvi Hoffman. He was the head of the Rabbiner Seminar in Berlin. Okay? And he wrote a Shuvah called the Melamed Lehoyel. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, and at the same time, he was a great scholar. And he wrote a book called Mishnah Rishoina Uplukta de Tanoi. And Mishnah Rishoina Uplukta de Tanoi is probably one of the foundational books that allow us to have an idea of how Torah Sheba'al Peh came out to be, but through the words of Chazal. So through Chazal, how do they portray their own history? Okay? And what we are going to do it is using Pirkei Avos as our springboard. Because Pirkei Avos is very, very unique. We have the Avos, Pirkei Avos, the ethics of the fathers, which is part of the Mishnah, which is in Seder Nezikin. But we have a companion to it, which is called Avos Reb Nosson. Rabbi and Reb Nosson, the Gemara says, they were counterparts. They lived at the same time. And both of them have a Pirkei Avos. If you look at your first source in the staple page, Tosfos Bava Kamma Daf Chofei Amud Aleph says, "Vechemuchach betosefta demasechta Avos." Avos Reb Nosson is viewed by the Rishonim as the Tosefta. What is the Tosefta? Tosefta are brises, are Tanaitic works that they were not compiled in the Mishnah. It's a big debate among scholars Is it the source of the Mishnah, which is for sure not? Are those Mishnahs that were left over by Rabbi? Rabbi, when he created an anthology called the Mishnah, he left a few Mishnahs over, so that's a Tosefta. Or perhaps the Tosefta is coming to explain the Mishnah. And like Brody says, okay, Rachmiel Brody, at the University of Hebrew University in Yerushalayim, his view is probably a combination of the three. Okay, so that's a Tosefta. So Ovaz Reb Nosson is the Tosefta of Pirkei Ovaz. Now, if you do an analysis, we're going to do a literary analysis onto Ovaz Reb Nosson and Pirkei Ovaz. Uniquely enough, look at how the Mishnah Ovaz Reb Nosson is very different for anybody who did it than Pirkei Ovaz. But there is a main structure of Ovaz Reb Nosson, the Tosefta, which is very similar to Pirkei Ovaz. Look at the first perek. Moshe niskadesh be'ona ve'kibel Torah mi'Sinai. That's how Pirkei Ovaz starts. Moshe kibel Torah mi'Sinai. Ve'alde Moshe nitna Torah be'Sinai. Skenim kiblu mi'Yeshua. Shoiftim kiblu mi'Yeshua. Nivim kiblu mi'Shoiftim. Chagai Zecharia Malachi kiblu mi'Nivim. Anshe Knesset Agdoila kiblu mi'Chagai Zecharia Malachi. Very similar to our Mishnah. Then you go to Perek Revi, Shimon HaTzadik, Hayam Yashir and Shekneses HaGdoila, Huayimer Shlish HaDvorim Oilam Oimed. That's Mishnah base in Pirkei Ovaz. Then you go to Perek Hamishi, Antignu Shisocho, Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. That is, in our Pirkei Ovaz, Mishnah Gimel. Then you go into Pirkei Ovaz Perek Shishi, Yossi Ben Yoezer, and then Pisvi, Yossi Ben Yoichanan. Then you go Yeshua ben Prache, Nitarar Beili, Yuda ben Tabai in Shimon Beshatach. So interestingly enough, that the generations that there was in the Pirkei Ovaz starts. Pirkei Ovaz says the first Mishnah is Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. Second Mishnah is Shimon HaTzadik. Then we have the famous five pairs, the five Zugas, right? Which is Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef ben Yoezer. Then we have Yeshua ben Prache in Nitai Harbeli. Then we have Yehuda ben Tabai in Shimon ben Shatach. Okay? And then we have Shmaya and Natalion. And then the fifth is Hillel and Shammai. And that follows the officer of Nosson. And then you go into Hillel and Shammai. And this is where it starts. Now, in Pirkei Ovaz, you go to there. And those are the Mishnahs go in order, exactly this order. Anshe Knesset HaGdoila 1, Shimon HaTzadik is the remnant of Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. We'll explain in a second how it works. Then there were the five pairs, okay, ending with Hillel and Shammai. In Pirkei Ovaz, the Mishnah stops there, and you have a lot of other Mishnahs. However, then it continues, it picks up back. In Perek Beis, in the middle of Perek Beis, you go back. The Mishnah goes back to Hillel and Shammai. And then Hillel and Shammai gave over the tradition, and the Ovaz Reb Nosson follows, okay, to Perek Shloish Arba Asar, to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got from Hillel and Shammai. So the Mishnah by us is the same, but it goes from the half of Perek Aleph to the half of Perek Beis. And then the Mishnah continues, Chamisha Talmidim Ayu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five known Talmidim, which our Mishnah describes and Ovaz Reb Nosson describes also. The rest of it is completely different, except for one thing. Okay, what is it? Perek Echad U'Shloshim, 31 Perek, is the same as our Ovaz. We have Basora, Mamoris, Nivra Olam. We go into Perek Chamishi, the fifth Perek of Pirkei Ovaz, is a Perek related to numerology. 10 utterances of the world, 10 generations, 10 generations. On that, Ovaz Reb Nosson is the same. So look at the Ovaz Reb Nosson. We in Pirkei Ovaz have tons and many, many Tanaim and their sayings, all related to ethics, to idea of Hasidus. However, what Ovaz Reb Nosson and Pirkei Ovaz share in common are the generations, Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, Shimon HaTzadik, the five Zukos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and the five Talmidim, and the Mishnah of Asora Mamoris. That perek of Asora Mamoris, Asora Doiris. Whenever you have two works, which are very, very different, but they have some very odd similarities, you apply what scholars call the Q, the theory of the quellos. And the theory of the quellos is used, lehavdil, by the synoptic gospels, right? In the story of Jesus, you have gospels who tell the story, but the story is very different between the gospels. However, there are elements of the story that everybody shares. How is it that the story is so different, some elements everybody shares? So the theory goes that whenever they share a idea, that idea was taken from a previous work called the Quelle. The Quelle is the source. It's a German word. It's a theory of the Q. When you have two works which are very different, but they share some very odd similarities, you assume that all of them are sharing an older work, which is called the Q. Lehavdil, the Synoptic Gospels, we assume that there was an older source of the story of Jesus, and everybody else added their own embellishments or whatever, traditions. Pirkei Avos and Avos Reb Nosson have a very similar structure. Then lechoira, they are sharing an older work. Because Rabbi and Reb Nosson, at the end of the Tannaitic period, when did they work? At the end of the 2nd century, beginning of the 3rd century. We know that the Mishnah, as we're going to see, come to much earlier than that. So there was a composition that they were looking at. That composition had the generations, which is the tradition, the generations coming into the tradition, and one perek, which is the Asara Mamoras. So you must assume that they are sharing an older work. The question is, which older work it is? But I thought that Pirkei Avos is a very interesting Mishnah. The first prokim are teachings of Tanaim of different generations. And the teachings are ethical teachings. And then you have Perek Hamishi, which is so odd. It tells you numerology. The number 10, there were 10 utterances of the world. There were 10 generations from Noah, from Adam until Noah. 10 generations from Noah until this. There were 10 nisyonis, 10 tests the Jews were tested. 10 tests we tested God. And then there were collections of number 7s and the collections of number 5s. What does it have to do with Pirkei Avos? I always say the 5th Perek of Pirkei Avos fits better into Kabbalistic work than Pirkei Avos. What does it have to do with it? And on this, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, Mishnah Rishonah, comes out with an amazing idea. So what I want you to look is this copy is an excerpt of Mishnah Rishonah in Plukta de Tannoi. He wrote it in German, but it was translated later into Hebrew. Yesh lanu ha'ifa tzedaka lechlit. He says, we do have a justification to say, ki oisen ha'kvusa shel pitgamim merot nemtzeu b'sigmon b'seder echad b'shtei ha'tosfiyot. When you have two collections, and they have sayings and ideas which are exactly the same, she'shimshu lehem kisod heneina mishna kduma shel maseches Avos. You could reconstruct to that the earlier Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. He constructs something called the Mishnah HaRishonah. So Pirkei Avos, in its earlier stage, where Reb Nosson and Rabbi added things to, was a very simple Mishnah. We could say, Maseches Avos Akdum Azot. If you want to reconstruct, re-engineer the early Mishnah, Nechlek L'Fizeh L'Shlosha Prakim, they had 3 chapters. Vehem. Ha'Avos Ad Hillel V'Shamay. You had all of the early generations until Hillel and Shammai. And how are the generations of Hillel v'Shammai? You have to remember, starting from Anshe Knesset Agdoila, having a remnant called Shimon HaTzadik, then you had Antignos Yisocho, the 5 Zugas, when the last of the pairs is Hillel and Shammai. And then it goes to somebody called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'Talmidav, that in our office is not in Perek Aleph, it's in Perek Beis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is his 5 Talmidim, and then pitkamim akshurim b'mispareim asara, and then you have a collection of numbers, numerology, 10, 7, and 4. And this is the early Mishnah. The early Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, because they are exactly the same, Avos Reb Nosson, and our Avos, this is the early Mishnah. And the question is, who is the early Mishnah? and what's the purpose of the early Mishnah. But clearly, they are sharing an early Mishnah. And therefore, this early office remained there. This is what's called detective work, right? You go and you see the sharing, the commonalities, there are remnants of an early work. And all of the additions that they are, because now office Rav Nosson and Reb and Pirkei Avos are much bigger. But everything else is different because this they took the early Mishnah and they added their own ideas through it. Now, the early Mishnah, we know which are the later of the Chachomim which are Nizkar. Now, if you want to know when was the early Mishnah written, if you assume that the early Mishnah is just what I just told you, what are the latest of the rabbis mentioned there? Is Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua who lived after, they lived by the time of, when did they live, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Between the destruction of the temple, which is the 70th, 70 of the common era, and the year 135, which is the Hadrian, what you call the Hadrian persecutions. So in between, the year 100 of the common era, 2nd century. So they were poor, so he's describing them. So you have to assume that when was that Mishnah? This is also typical scholarly. If you see that the rabbis which are mentioned, the latest of them is Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, who, when is that Mishnah written? That generation, right afterwards. That's why they stopped Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Who is that generation? Who is the one who could have written? Bizmano Rebbe Akiva. That's the time of Rebbe Akiva. The Korov Adov Rebbe Akiva Beitzmayor Chadot. This is the mission of Rebbe Akiva. We know Rebbe Akiva is credited. He doesn't mention it, but he credited the Gemara in the Gila. He is credited as all the rabbinic works. The idea of the Stam is called Rebbe Akiva Stim Tor. He's Rebbe Akiva the Anonymous. Because all the anonymous statements of rabbinical works are always Talmidim, students and disciples of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva was the one that we are going to see. And in Kabbalistic ideas, he is the father of the Mishnah. We're going to see that the real fathers of the Mishnah were Hillel and Shammai. The one who created our concept of Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. The Arizal always said that Rabbi Akiva is the one we're going to see, because Rabbi Akiva is a fantastic story. Rabbi Akiva is the one who comes from a family of what? Of Gidim. A family of converts. And he's the one credited with the most amazing revolution in Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the creation of a work called the Mishnah. And that Pirkei Avos clearly was written by Rabbi Akiva, his generation, because he's the Talmid, he's the student, disciple of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Clearly it's his generation. And clearly, very similar, makes sense that he was the one mentioned it. Now he says like this, Shtura shel Masechet Avot Rabbi Akiva. So this early Mishnah, he calls it the office of Rabbi Akiva. We have office of Rabbi Yehuda Kodesh, that's the office we have. We have the Ovos Rebbe Nosson, which exists, anybody can buy it. And we have the Ovos Rebbe Akiva, which is the reconstructed Ovos by Rudolf Tsiavon. And you know what that Ovos was? This was the introduction to Mishnah. Because you're going to see, he doesn't say that, but you'll see that this is the introduction to the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is something, and we are going to analyze what's the Chiddush of Mishnah. And the Mishnah needed authority. The pedigree, the authority of the Mishnah comes from this introduction. Because this is the chain that created Torah Shebaal Peh. Starting from Anshe Knesset Agdoila, all the way to whom? To Rabbi Akiva. I said, now, he said, this early Mishnah, I called it Mishnah Rabbi Akiva. If you don't know what he ever says that. Do you know why the number 10 is so important? Why the Mishnah ends? Because the generations that created Torah Shebaal Peh, the creation and the development of rabbinical Judaism, which we call Torah Shebaal Peh in the Mesorah, are exactly 10 generations. And therefore, the Mishnah has to tell you that the number 10 is not by chance. Number 10 is how the world was created. The number 10 is a recurring. So he's telling you the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is a 10-stage development, is not by chance, by happenstance. The Mishnah, that's why we asked, what's the kasher? What does he have? The Perek that talks about the 10 utterances of the world, the 10 generations. What does he have to do with Pirkei Avos? It has to do. Because Pirkei Avos is telling you that there are 10 generations who developed and created the Torah Shebaal Peh that became rabbinical Judaism for thousands of years afterwards. Why Dafka 10? Why not 11? So the Mishnah tells you the number 10 is how God used to create everything. And therefore, Torah Shebaal Peh was used to, by 10 generations to create through 10 generations. Ken chashva limitzar haknowledge b'oto zman. Now, and they see, that's why the Gemara always says that tradition is number 10. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Drosh Rabbi Elazar ben Yeshua ya Asir Elazar. The Gemara says, what's the mile of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that becomes the Rosh Hashiva? Because it's the 10th generation of Ezra. Who cares about the 10th generation? Because the Rosh Shebaal Peh is developed in 10. Ve'inim ni betor Asir b'shmachat Ezra sh'aleya ityaches. Asor adoris alalo. Now, I am sorry, but I'm going to argue with Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman. Let's see, coming to my shiur, you're going to have to listen to my idea. He says, what are the 10 generations? Listen to how he counts it, and I'll tell you that this is, I'm sorry to say, not right. And Chas Shalom, not right? I mean, I think it differently. But he said like this, Anshe Knesset Agdola, generation 1, Shimon HaTzadik, generation 2, Antigosh Yisocho, the third generation, the five pairs takes it to number 8. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the number 9. And the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which are the Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, is the 10th generation. And Rabbi Akiva is the number 11. That is how he counts it. The issues are, Anshe Knesset Agdoila, the Mishnah says that Shimon HaTzadik is part of Anshe Knesset Agdoila. He was the remnant. We have to understand what he means to say a remnant of Anshe Knesset Agdoila. I say, if you understand, I'm going to tell you something amazing. Anshe Knesset Agdoila, as you'll see, we're going to learn today who are the people of the Great Assembly. When were they? What is their significance? People of Anshe Knesset Agdoila, Chazal portray this magic group of people. We're going to see what the sources talk about these people. Anshe Knesset Agdoila, as you'll see, is the transitional generation between the prophets and the rabbis. And we're going to see that this generation, which is called Anshe Knesset Agdoila, they witnessed and they participated in the greatest transition ever happening to the Jewish people. You know what the transition was? The cessation of prophecy and the beginning of rabbinical Judaism. In its earliest form, which is called the Pharisees. Before, there were prophets. Do you know what the Anshe Knesset Agdoila did when we spoke last year? What was Anshe Knesset Agdoila? They canonized the Tanakh. Because they closed the Tanakh. We're going to soon see that they are at the end of prophecy. Shimon HaTzadik, as you see, and we're going to learn about them. You know what was unique about Anshe Knesset Agdoila? Was a group of people. You know how many people were in Anshe Knesset Agdoila? Anybody? 120. That's why the Knesset today has 120 people. There were 120. But the unique part of it, the Gemara says, and Yerushalmi, you're going to learn the Yerushalmi, there were prophets and there were rabbis. The first time the prophets and rabbis shared, because that's a transitional. Shimon HaTzadik is the leftover. You know why he's leftover? Because he's a rabbi, not a prophet, and he's the beginning of the rabbinical movement. Shimon HaTzadik, we're going to see the famous encounter between Shimon HaTzadik and the greatest person in the last 2,000 years, who is the greatest person that was voted by every scholar in the world as the greatest person in the last 2,000 years. His name was Alexander the Great. So these two are called counterparts, and the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh is Shimon HaTzadik. And that's why, huh? So Shimon HaTzadik is generation one. Antigonus Issochar is generation two. There were five Zugas, which takes you to seven. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the eighth generation. The ninth generation is who? The five Talmidim, which is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. And the tenth generation is who? Is Rabbi Akiva. And the tenth generation is called the disappearing. Always the number 10 is called the missing 10. Everywhere in Chazal literature, the number 10 is different because the number 10 is almost hidden. He's the hidden dimension. Now, I will tell you why Rabbi Akiva is the number 10. You know, the Zohar says that Zohar comes to explain the famous story of the 10 Harugi Malchut. We know that there were 10 martyrs of the rabbinical martyrs. And the rabbinical martyrs, they came and they died in different generations, but the Zohar puts them together. They said that these 10 people were dying for the same reason. So why did they die? They died because of Mechirat Yosef. Because Yosef was sold. The 10 brothers had to have kapara. And their kapara, their atonement, came through the 10 martyrs of the Jewish tradition. But the Zohar asks the simple question. There are only 9. Why? Because Yosef, there were 12 brothers. Yosef was sold, so he can't punish him. There was somebody called Binyamin who was at home. And Reuven wasn't even there. So how many people sold Yosef? 9. So how is that you have 10 Harugi Malchus? Says the Zohar, the 10th is Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva really wasn't even Jewish. He wasn't even part of the tribes. At all, he comes from a family of converts. So why is he being an atonement for the sale of Yosef? He wasn't even involved in the story. I mean, why do you bring somebody? So it says the Zohar, Ve'aya kol asher yavor tachat hashevet. Everybody who came, the Zohar is paraphrasing the idea of Ma'aser Behemah. Any animal, any person who comes under the Shevet, which means to say everybody who comes under the Shevet to replace the Shevet, Ha'asiri, the 10th, Yekoidesh Lashem. He's a kapora to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the game. Because they made HaKadosh Baruch Hu not tell anybody else. They did it L'Shem Shamayim. They were Mashbiya Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not tell Yaakov. So they participated Hashem. Asiri, the 10th, he is the missing 10, the hidden 10. It's called the invisible 10. Is Rabbi Akiva, which he came to be a kapora, koidesh l'shem, be a kapora to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It explains the Chido something beautiful. Why Rabbi Akiva came to be a kapora to Hashem? Because you know the Shimon Amsoni darshan every word ace in the Torah to come to add something. And he got stuck on the pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. He should fear God, and the word Es would have to come to add something. Fear of God means you only fear God, nothing else. How can you add anything else? So he said, I made a mistake. Keshem shekibalt yischal al adisha, kachav yischal al adisha. The same way I got a reward for darshaning, I got the reward from stopping. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came in darshan, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. It's coming to add or to be Moisif what? Talmidei Chachomim. Talmidei Chachomim are an extension of Hashem. Says the Chido, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that the Talmid Chachom is an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to fear him. He died as an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kapora to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rabbi Akiva. He brought in his life the drosha that he darshaned. That's why Ha'asiri, so the 10th is always Rabbi Akiva. He's always the invisible 10, the missing 10th. Always in rabbinical literature. The number 10 is always different. Lemoshal, how many utterances the world was created with? Which the Mishnah comes to tell you. How many utterances? 10. The Gemara says on second, Vayomer, it says only 9 times. There's no 10. So the Gemara says the word Bereishis is also, even though he's missing the Vayomer, it is also utterance. Lemoshal, all the mitzvahs, right? The 10 commandments. Every commandment tells you what to do, right? Keep Shabbos, do this, do that. there is one commandment which is not a mitzvah, but is a statement of fact. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's always called the invisible, the missing tenth. The makos. All the makos were given by Moshe. There's one makah that's ani velo shaliach, ani hu velo acher, is the tenth makah. The tenth is always the missing ten, the invisible ten. The mission of Ovis brings nine, and the one which is truly anonymous is Rabbi Akiva. He's the number ten. He's the Asir Kodesh Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva, by the way, he's called Rabbi Akiva Stintor. Every one of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva became part of the Mishnah, but their name is understood, not explicit. They are the implicit idea. Rav Meir, every time I come over the Mishnah is Rav Meir, but doesn't say Rav Meir. So the Mishnah in Ovis has 10 generations of the creation of Torah Shebaal Peh. The 10th generation, unlike Rav David Zvi Hoffman, in my view, the 10th generation of Rabbi Akiva, because the 10th generation is always anonymous, is always missing, is always the hidden 10th.
Well, just on a simple level, not the mystical one, you'd have to count, start the count as you're doing from Shimon Hatzadik, because Antei Knesset HaGdola wasn't a generation. The 120 weren't even at one time. They
absolutely, it was over
a wide expanse. It was.
It could never be the first one. Absolutely, and they were transitional. Not only that, their contribution to the Shebaal Peh is a very amorphous idea. We're going to learn about them. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is telling us the Torah Shebaal Peh was developed in 10 generations, starting from Shimon HaTzadik, which is the first of the rabbinical movement, the founder of the rabbinical movement. We're going to see why it's called HaTzadik. It's Shimon HaTzadik, Simon the Just. And we had 10 generations. That's why right afterwards is the beginning of the Sadducees. Antigonus Issochar makes a lot of sense, because the next generation is the generation at the beginning of the Pharisees. Chazal say it was a generation before. Once you create Pharisees, by nature, you create the opposition, because they saw, one second, this is like revolutionary. So you created Sadducees, Antigonus Issochar. And then you have the five Zugas, and we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we have the five Talmidim, and we have Rabbi Akiva. And the creation of Mishnah. And this is the introduction to Mishnah. Because we're going to learn what's the chidush of Mishnah. Mishnah is one of the most revolutionary works ever created. And the Mishnah needed authority. And this is the authority. This is the chain of authority. Our series will dedicate itself to what each one came to be. What was the world before that? Why did it happen now? What is the revolution that this brought? What was the reception of the community when you have this like amazing change going on? You realize that these 10 generations, the world went through, the Jewish world, through cataclysmic changes. This is the beginning. This is the Second Temple. This is the break in this and the split between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is the beginning of Christianity. This is when the temple gets destroyed. This is the destruction of Beitar. This is the beginning of rabbinical Judaism. And we're going to talk about it, develop it, and I think that this is, we're going to focus on these 10 generations. We're going to learn the Mishnah in Ovis, how the Mishnah in Ovis portrays them. We are going to see throughout Chazal how these generations are explained. We're going to see in historical terms how they mean, and mystical ideas, what are these, each one of them adding? Okay? So these are the 10 generations of Torah Shebaal Peh. The first one we're going to talk about is the concept of something called Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Who are Anshei Knesset HaGdola? We're going to start this, and Anshei Knesset HaGdola is a fascinating group. Who are Anshei Knesset HaGdola? Anshei Knesset HaGdola is a group of 120 sages that came in the time of Ezra to establish the Second Commonwealth. The Second Commonwealth of Israel, when they came back from Babylonia, they came and the institution was in Babylonia. We had that Mordechai is part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Anshei Knesset HaGdola is this group of 120 people that lasted. It's debatable how long they lasted, but clearly they lasted at Shimon HaTzadik. Like even the Chazals, if you look at the chronology of Chazal, when did they come back from Babylonia? It what year? by Sheni was around 400 and some odd years. So this is give or take on the 4th century BCE. Shimon HaTzadik is in the time of the beginning of the Greek Empire of Hellenism, right? Because the Gemara says in Yuma that he met and he encountered who? He encountered Alexander the Great. In physical terms, in mystical terms, but they are contemporaries. So this Anshe Knesset HaGdolah went for a period like hundreds of years. And what did they do? And who were they? And why? What happened at that time? What I want to show you first is we're going to start the sources, and I want to focus on the significance of Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, and then we're going to see their contribution. The Mishnah in Ov starts like this. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai u'mesorah liYeshua. He gave it over to Yeshua. Yeshua gave the Torah to Zkenim, to the elders. The Zkenim gave to the prophets. And the prophets misaruah l'Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. And the prophets gave it over to the sages of the great assembly, which means those 120 people. Hem omru shloish advorim. And these Anshe Knesset HaGdolah were so important, they said three things only. Hevu mesunim badim, you should be patient when bringing people to justice. Be patient. Hamidu talmidim harbe, bring many talmidim, meaning make sure to teach to many students. Vasu siag la Torah, and build a fence around the Torah. Now the obvious question you should ask, why does the Mishnah start enumerating what they said? First to say Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said X, Y, and Z. Give to Yeshua, Yeshua said A, B, and C. Because the Mishnah says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, gave to Yeshua, Yeshua to the Zkenim, Zkenim to the Nevi'im, Nevi'im gave to Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, and they said three things. What? The Nevi'im didn't say anything? Is that right? If you want to know what Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have everywhere to see it. You know where you see it? You see it in the Chumash. If you want to see what Yeshua says, Yeshua said a lot of things, but they are part of Sefer Yeshua. If you want to know what the Zkenim said, you go into Sefer Shoftim. If you want to know what the Nevi'im said, you go into Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Melachim. But you know Anshe Knesset HaGdolah? They were part of Torah Shebal Peh. From now on, if you want to know what they say, you have to listen to Torah Shebal Peh. This is the genesis and the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh, as we know. And therefore, they said, as foundations to Torah Shebal Peh, three foundations. Hevu metunim badin, be very patient when you hear some kind of a court case. Hamid b'tamid marbe, have many students. Vasu siag l'Torah, build a fence around the Torah. But the question is, what are those three things so significant? Meaning, you wait thousands of years to inaugurate Torah Shebal Peh, and that's how you inaugurate it? Doesn't make any sense. This is how you start the Shebal Peh. I would have said, you like say some kind of a chidush. Say a chaim al Torah. I mean, this is what you're saying? I mean, we waiting thousands of years? And 1 second, Torah Shebal Peh, wasn't Torah Shebal Peh given by Har Sinai? Mashe Talmid Vosik Ose Lechadesh was given to them. That's the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh started by Har Sinai. We have so many Gemaras. David HaMelech learned in yeshivas. We had yeshivas everywhere. Even Yehuda had yeshivas. So how does that go? Says the Mishnah, the Gemara Megillah. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Tzatana, 120 zkenim, there were 120 zkenim, umehem kana nevim, and out of those zkenim there were some nevim. So Anshe Knesset HaGdolah was funny, was rabbis and prophets together, put it together. Tiknu Shmonesre Brochot said that they were the ones who made Shmonesre. Shmonesre was made by Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. Now the question is, how many rabbis and how many prophets? So look at the end of the sources. This is the Maritz Chiyus. I'm sorry that you can't read so well, but that's how I was doing it. Nichtav b'tzidoi, u'bayirushalmi perekama de Megillah matzinu. In the Yerushalmi, in Megillah explains, there were pei heis kenim, there were 85 kenim, u'bahem shloishim v'kama nevim, and 35 nevim. And therefore, they were the people that they established the Megillah. We know that Shirotu Mordechai Esther LeMada So exactly, they are the ones with the Megillas Esther. We know Megillas Esther is the last, the end of the Kisvei HaKodesh. And the word you see beferush, 85 Chachomim and 35 Nevi'im. Okay? Now, he's going to ask afterwards, why does it say 35? It says Shloshim Vekama, because Mordechai was debatable if it was part of it. But B.S. May, this is a very poor Bartzius. Now, why 85? This looks like some kind of a, like, almost like an engineered number. 85 Chachomim and 35 Nevi'im. Because you know what the beginning of a Sefer is, if you have a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah lost all its letters. When does it lose the Kedusha Sefer Torah? How many letters do you have to have a minimum? What's the minimum of a Sefer? Is 85 letters, right? Why? Because Keneged the Pasuk Vayi bin Soya Oren Vayom and Moshe, which is a Sefer, the transitional Sefer is Vayi bin Soya Oren. So the beginning of the Torah Shebal Peh, that's why it's Peh. 85 is Peh, right? It's the beginning. So as a stylized number, Anshe Knesset Gdola were 85 Keneged the Peh, which is the beginning of the Torah Shebal Peh. So there were 85 Chachomim and 35 Nevi'im. The remnant of those Chachomim, this is the end of prophecy. You realize that Anshe Knesset Gdola are the ones who closed prophecy and they canonized the Tanakh, the canonization of the Tanakh. Many forms of the Tanakh, if we want, we might even go into it. Many forms of the Tanakh, they were the ones who wrote it. They were prophecies. They are the ones who edited many. Lemoshel Tehillim, the Gros says, the Tehillim. You look at Tehillim. David HaMelech has a few prokim, but then you have prokim that talk about Al Naris Bovel, Sham Yashavnu, Gambachinu, Bezochrin, Etzion. Meaning the prokim talk about the destruction of Babylonia. How did David HaMelech write that? So the Gemara says there were 10 Meshoirim, there were 10 people, authors of Tehillim. But there are things which are much later. Not only that, look at Mishlei. Mishlei has the Mishlei of Shlomo and then has all kinds of parables. So says the Gro, Anshe Knesset HaGdola added it. Anshe Knesset HaGdola canonized. They took David HaMelech and the Asoras Kenim and they closed the Sefer. So they added all kinds of songs. Meaning poetry, they added to Tehillim. Wisdom literature, they added to Mishlei. So says the Gro. So that's why you have all kinds of different people. Because Anshe Knesset HaGdola took the wisdom of Shlomo and says, you know something, we're going to collect all the wisdom and canonize as wisdom literature. We need to have something called poetry. All the poetry, the songs, the ideas of Klois HaNefesh, they took the original kernel, which were the 10 people who wrote the healing, and they added. They added Al Naris Bovel, whatever. So this is a big discussion among the Chabad. The Gros says, for the proportion of such a thing. That's Anshe Knesset HaGdola did it. So Anshe Knesset HaGdola is the one who canonized the Tanakh. The canonization of Tanakh is them, because that's the end of prophecy. The word 80, the 35 last prophets of Klal Yisrael. The beginning, but they founded Torah Shebal Peh. Now, how does that sting? Why now? So let's continue. The next source is Reb Tzodek. So Reb Tzodek explains the following. We believe that our Torah is divided into two components. Torah Shebichtav v'Shebal Peh. Shebichtav, the written Torah, he divrei Hashem Yisborach. That's the words of Hashem. This is not only the laws of Hashem, it's exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the universe. Mosa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael Shem Yuchlu l'Chadosh Bo. And it was given to us for us to add our own interpretation. And every Talmud, everybody has a perspective, and it's all there. It's there in potential. Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is the interpretation of Torah Shebichtav. She'ika ziva Torah ve'adora. With Torah Shebal Peh, you see the splendor and the glory of Torah Shebichtav. Now you have to realize this. Pirkei Cholas, that we'll see, are the ascensions. Those are the Kabbalistic works written by the school of Rabbi Shmuel. And he says it from the Ikamol Shoin is Daf the Dina Torah, even though Torah was given to the Jews, Ikar Malosa Vishivcha, but the beauty of Torah, which is Torah Shebapelo and is Galad by Sheni. Torah Shebapelo was only given really in its power that was given as a mission to the Jews. That was only when, in the beginning of the Second Temple, Me'an Sheknesa Zagdoila. Shemascholah Torah Shebapeh. Anshe Knesset Gdoila is the beginning, says Echoles. So this is not a made-up thing, this is Echoles. Echoles says the beginning of Torah Shebapeh, of Rabbinic Judaism, of interpretation, is Anshe Knesset Gdoila. Upos Kanivu, because this is the end of the prophecy, Shudibur Hashem Izborach, Koyomar Hashem, De'alav Le'inosif. Prophecy is what Hashem says. Here we add to it. Rak Ninza Dov Lechach Meisur V'Shechat Shubikor Chochmosem. And now, you always think that the end of prophecy was something very depressing, but it actually was the beginning, as we're going to see, is the shining of the Jewish people. Because prophecy, you're dependent to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you. If he told you, you got it. If he didn't tell you, you didn't. Now we are Mechadesh. It's totally on us. How much we achieve is dependent on us. V'zeu ikara toiru kumo sheomru, the ikara kriya toiru shebal peh, the ikara toiru shebal peh is what is specifically here. Now, next, Sefer Sol Kedoshim. V'zochu az bibovel polu b'levu b'peh. Okay, now, if you look at the part which is bolded. V'zochu az lispashus tura shebal peh b'levovos b'nei Yisrael. This was when it was given to the Jews, the concept of Torah Shebal Peh. Sheitchil me'an sheknes ha'gdoila. Starts from an sheknes ha'gdoila, Torah Shebal Peh. Kmo she'omru ha'midu talmidi ma'ar v'shar la'toira. ובספר היכולת, דף על גבי שדית התוירה, עיקר זיו ולא נסגל בי שני. תוירה שבל פה was always. There was always traditions, and there was always busy, but that was not the Jews. The Jews were prophets. They got some kind of inspiration from Hashem, and that was it. The beauty of Torah Shebal Peh, that the Jews were able to give the ability to give interpretation, exegesis, to go ahead and to really be mechadish, that's bay sheni. Lo nizgal ela b'bay sheni. This is the bay sheni. Af shelo shorta bo shechina. And the Nopikir Chole says, the Jews were told to build the second temple. And the second temple, there were no miracles. The first temple, there were miracles. Second temple, there were miracles. In the first temple, there was something called Ashros Ashchina. God's presence was in the first temple. In the second temple, there was none. So the Jews said, we are not building a Bayis Sheni unless you give us a replacement. And it says in the Echolas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jews the ability to go ahead and to be Mechadesh on their own. This is the ultimate power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was not revealed, that is in his mind. Those are the potential that we bring about. By the way, people, this is not only happened by the Jews. This happened by every religion. In Chazal, Rabbi Yoshe Ber says, the kernel of it is when the Oren with the Luchos was hidden by Yoshiyahu, when it was actually Nignas, the Oren Nignas. This is the beginning of the hiding of prophecy that took a process. And then the world went, by the way, this is something that the scholars give a name to this, because every religion went through this process. This is called the Axial Age. Axial Age is A-X-I-A-L. The same way that the axis of the word flipped, every religion flipped. Up to the time, or that time, which is really the time of Yoshiyahu and the Gniza Sa'oren, time of Yechezkel, which is the end of prophecy, God came to humans. And that lehavdil every religion. The Vedas were the Hindu tradition. They came to them. The Avestas in Zoroastrianism, they believed that God came to them. At that time, which is the time of Yechezkel, the time of Yoshiyahu, of Baisheini, it flipped. It's not that God came to humans. Humans were given the ability to reach out to God, which is Torah Shebal Peh, which became real in Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. That's Mistoirim. And that's called the Axial Age. The axis of the world changed. Was not from top to bottom, but became from bottom to top. And Lehavdil, like whenever it happens by us, it happens by every religion, right? By the Vedas, they became interpreted by the Upanishads, Lahavdil, and you had the same thing by the Zoroastrians. The Avestas became interpreted by the Zands. Hinduism becomes interpreted by the Buddha in the Pali writings. Always humans going. And because whatever Tzaddik says, wherever Klal Yisrael goes through the process, is a process the whole Bria, the whole creation goes through. And that's why every religion. And this is the beginning what Torah Shebaal Peh becomes our mission, our relationship. Before there were traditions. But the best didn't use this sporadically. But people were prophets. God came to people. People had inspiration. The Gemara says there were thousands and hundreds of thousands of prophets. The end of the closing with the prophets, which Anshei Knesset HaGdol, is the transition when humans were given the ability to create. The power was given to the rabbis. That's the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. And you realize that this was a revolution because people did not believe that that was going through. Anshei Knesset HaGdol says the second prophecy is closed and we're going to open our new channel. This became one of the great sources of controversy because people believed that prophecy still should continue. And this is our tradition, Anshei Knesset HaGdol. We're going to see in 2 weeks, Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the whole perspective onto the world, which is the perspective of what? Is the famous perspective of the axial age, changes completely. What in prophets was one thing, here is totally different. That's why when we try to imagine Bais Rishon, try to imagine how people did in the first temple, it's hard to imagine people. I'm not sure if you encounter a Jew in the first temple, if you'd look at him and say, wow, this is how Jews looked. I think it would be a big shock to all of us. But not only that, it says in the Aros Dvash, you know something very interesting, in the Bais Rishon, these people went to Babylonia, and in 70 years, they were already completely assimilated. They were marrying goyim, stores open on Shabbos. And now we are 2,000 years in Golos, Boch Hashem, in yeshivas, Yevaleku, that has thousands of students. How is that possible? These people in 70 years, they lost everything. He says that's the difference. Because by his Rishon, they were in the stage of prophecy. Once they were out of the temple, they didn't know how to relate. They were completely lost. In the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, by Sheni, the second temple was created to create the world which Jews and Judaism can survive. Bais Sheni was never complete because there was no prophecy, there was no Shechina, there was no divine presence, there were no miracles. But in some ways, it was the greatest shining because it gave empowered people. We're going to see what the Pharisees did, different than the Sadducees, is the Torah Shebaal Peh, the empowerment of the people. Godol Talmid Chochom, a Talmid Chochom, who is a Mamzer, is bigger than Kohen Godol Moritz. The father of Torah Shebaal Peh, who is it? I told you the Mishnah, the father of Mishnah, the Bechiva, who comes from a non-Jewish family. This is the empowerment of people. This is survival of the people. That's by Sheni, and this is Anshei Knesset HaGdol. Anshei Knesset HaGdol is the transition, the beginning of something called the Pharisees. And we're going to see how Chazal, we are going to see in two weeks, Mr. Hashem, how Chazal looked at their Weltanschauung, their approach to the world is very different than before. They came to these revolutionary ideas, and then we're going to learn the Maral, why the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh are the three ideas of Hamidum, Hevo Metudim Dadim, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, Vasu Sefer Torah. Have a great week. See you in 2 weeks, Mr. Hashem.